Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
In the meantime, let's get to Rodney Boyd. Rodney Boyd joining us this morning, of course, host of Insider Talk on Sundays here on 97.1 FM Talk. Rodney, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning? You hear me?
I'm doing fine. I got a little spoiled there. I got used to Tricia punching up the phone lines like she was doing when we weren't in the studio, and now we're back, and I've gotten a little lazy. Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, you're back, and tomorrow the state restrictions are the state eliminates or lets its restrictions expire, so everybody's kind of coming back in some form or another. So welcome back into the studio.
Yeah, thank you. You know, of course, what's happening? Today's the 15th. Missouri's reopening. Other states have already reopened, and I had to have a doctor on this morning out of New York talking about the resurgence of COVID cases, but she admitted to me that largely it's got a lot to do with the fact that there's more testing.
Yeah, and also I think one of the nuances that we don't talk a lot about is that there are a number of COVID cases that where people don't end up in the there's a spectrum of COVID. There's cases that people get it, they stay home for 2 weeks, they're in pain, they recover. There are other cases where people have underlying conditions where they get very sick, they're in a hospital. So it's not one COVID case, so to speak.
Yeah, very, very true. The mainstream media, Rodney, today is blasting the president for the fact that he's going to hold a rally in Tulsa. Something like, hundreds of thousands of people have applied for the 19,000 tickets that are available. He's being blasted for the risk that he's running, and yet not a concern was raised at all of the recent protests, many of them peaceful, that have taken place with thousands of people in the streets rubbing up against each other.
And I think that's going to be the contrast that people are going to make, that the protests, there are large protests. They are protests that are controlled and uncontrolled. And so this is supposed to be a controlled rally. You know, Dr. Fauci was asked about this the other day, and he said, hey, if we're going to do this, there's a way to do it. So I think that people are always now going to have a vocal opinion. I guess that's what we have free speech for. But I think the president and his supporters are going to move forward with the rally in the wake of many states that have reopened. And there's ways to do this. And it gets back into this idea of sort of selective critique. If you're okay with, thousands of people marching for whatever they believe in, then you should be okay for people who want to go to a rally to support the president. Yeah. So that's just the way we are. But look, there's no shortage of criticism for everything that's going on today. And that's part of who we are.
Yeah, true. Rodney Boyd, my guest this morning, host of Insider Talk here on the radio station. Rodney, before we move on to this poll that was out on the Missouri Scout about, the governor's race and Medicaid expansion and all that, I want to, because I value your opinion so much, I want to get you in here on this Rayshard Brooks discussion from over the weekend. We had it in the first hour today. We spent a lot of time discussing what happened, listening to some of the audio from the police interaction. A tragic event. Certainly a DUI is nothing that should result in anybody's death, a DUI stop. In this case, though, there were situations that sets this apart from the George Floyd case. And yet we've got a police chief that's fired. We got charges pending against an officer. What's your take on what happened down there this weekend?
So I actually watched the body cam video from the officers, and the tragedy to me is that this should not have resulted in a death. I have never seen, and I've never seen body cam footage ever. So this is the first time I got to watch it. And, you know, what was stunning to me was that for the first probably 25 or 30 minutes, everything seemed to be going very, very right. And then at the time of the purported arrest, that's when things went wrong. I think we have to have a real conversation, not just city by city, but in the nation about when deadly force should be utilized. And here's why. I'm a former prosecutor. And a couple of things that jumped out at me, Mark. The gentleman, they had his car, or at least a rental car. They had his driver's license. They knew where he lived, and he was clearly drunk. I think in that situation, the idea that you have to use deadly force to detain him probably, in my opinion, went too far. But I think there's a teachable moment here. Somebody asked me about this yesterday, and I said, look, law enforcement officers have one primary utility: to enforce the law. They're trained to enforce the law. That's what they're going to do. So if the law doesn't change, if the law doesn't say, hey, in these situations, hey, let the person go, we can get him. He doesn't have his car. We can catch him later. We can catch him at home. We can catch him two blocks away. He's going to get tired and collapse. He's drunk. Drunk people don't run very well. I think there should have been a little bit more of a calibration that, is this the time to take my gun and shoot this particular guy who I just spent 20 minutes with? And he's drunk, but he doesn't seem to be a real threat. Now, he took the taser. That escalated everything. And that's probably why it's going to be very difficult to make a case, in all honesty, that the officer didn't have imminent apprehension under the existing law. That's a tough case. Now, why you, before there's an investigation or all that, why the chief is resigning and people are getting fired, I think there's this inflection point now where mayors in particular they want to try to do everything to de-escalate. And even in that case, the de-escalation didn't work. The Wendy's restaurant, which seemed to be just the backdrop, ends up burning down. There was other destruction of property nearby that serviced the community.
Right.
So the knee jerk didn't work. I just think there are these sort of inflection and quick desires to do things. I understand it, but it didn't stop the Wendy's from burning. It didn't stop the place across the street. I think under the current law, it's going to be very, very tough to make a case. So it gets back to not trying to deal with these things in the court. I think when this officer reflects on it, as I was watching the video, it seems like he had enough training to know how to handle this situation, the main officer. And I think even he's going to reflect on the fact that maybe there was a different thing, a different outcome that I should have deployed. Even when I watched the body cam, he says, as he's being driven to the station for his post-situation interview, he says, I want to know the status of the guy, what happened to the guy. So I could even see him reflecting that maybe he made the wrong call. But the other events that follow leave a lot where leadership must step in. I think
yes.
That having the chief resign immediately, what does that accomplish?
So, you bring up some great points. There's so many gray areas here. I remember when the city specifically changed its pursuit policy a few years ago. Do you remember that? Where they decided they would no longer pursue somebody unless they were suspected of a violent crime. They had killed somebody and they were chasing them in a car, whatever, because they determined there was too much damage to civilians, to innocent bystanders, because the car might crash or whatever the case may be. In other words, what you did was tell people that if the police are chasing you, you should run because they're not going to pursue you because these are the rules. I think you have to be careful how you change that law and under what circumstances. And again, that call ultimately comes back to the individual police officer. And I'm telling you, man, the pressure is growing on our men and women in law enforcement who have to make split-second decisions and then get judged by the court of public opinion afterwards.
And I think you're right. And that's why I think, Mark, the backdrop of what an officer does has to be clear and concise. You have to set the parameters around it. And so those parameters are set today. So that's why I think in a lot of cases, officers are trained that if you think someone's a danger to you or to someone else, you have the ability to use deadly force. The challenge that we're having is now when people back away from it, because we're not there. We're not in the throes of the tense moment. We're objective. We're Monday morning quarterbacks, if you will.
Yes.
But when people Monday morning it and look back and say, well, you know, this was a DUI, and a number of people in the country have exposed to DUIs or loved ones of DUIs, most of the time you don't want to see them end in someone being killed for a number of reasons. But
no,
the gentleman who was intoxicated clearly didn't have reasonable judgment. He didn't even know where he was. He kept saying over and over again he was somewhere that he wasn't. So I clearly saw, and the officers knew that. They kept saying, you're not on this road that you think you're on. You're not in the county. You're in Atlanta. So I just think in those situations with the rules that they are today, the officer's training tells him, if this guy's a danger, I got to do everything I got to do to stop him. We ought to think about how we recalibrate that, because a lot of lives now, this officer, and in addition to the Mr. Brooks is dead, his children no longer have a father, this officer's life is over. I mean,
right.
The consequences go way beyond the tension of the moment, and I think it requires us. Now, I was looking at some of the shows yesterday, and Tim Scott and Langford and others are going to file legislation this week, this Wednesday, for national police reform. And that's a good step. It's important. But I think all the time, Mark, policing is really local. Like, the federal police are like, you know, these federal agencies that are rarely at the epicenter of these conversations.
Right.
So I appreciate what Scott and Langford are doing. But if we don't have a conversation at the state level, and I think it needs to be state more than local, because when you have local, you'll have 100 different departments with 100 different rules. But the point I'm making is I appreciate what they're doing in D.C., but these cases typically don't involve federal police officers or federal agents.
Yeah, it's a good point. Rodney Boyd, my guest this morning, I tell you what, there was some polling this weekend by the Missouri Scout. I want to get to this here before we run out of time. Medicaid expansion. Boy, the numbers have shrunk, Rodney. When this first came out, an overwhelming number of people in Missouri supported Medicaid expansion. In this most recent poll, it's 47 in favor, 40% against, 30% undecided. That's a big drop, in my opinion.
Mark, it's a big drop, and we talked about this. Originally, the question was, will there be funded opposition? That always moves the needle. And there is funded opposition now. So now that there's funded opposition, people are talking about the unintended consequences. Those numbers will tighten and tighten and tighten. Contrary to the fact that we're seeing those numbers tighten up with some funded opposition and messaging counter, if you look on the other side of the spectrum, I'm a little bit surprised to see how well Cleaner Missouri is polling with really not a whole lot of funding into it. But it seems to be people are still buying the same narrative when they see that the wording of it, that this is going to make things better. So it tells me that maybe it's not as cut and dry as how much money you put in, but how you word it. So
yes. It
appears today that Cleaner Missouri is probably going to pass decisively, even by today's polling, with a higher percentage than anyone anticipated if you throw in a bunch of money behind it.
Yeah, that's good news. I was shocked to see that poll tighten up on Medicaid expansion.
Yeah.
Happy to see how, by what a large margin, Cleaner Missouri appears to be winning. That's good. And Governor Parson does pretty well in this poll as well against Nicole Galloway.
Well, Governor Parson's numbers in that poll actually are better than the president's numbers. So
yes.
It's interesting to see how well he's doing. And that's now that people have had daily access to him through his briefings. So it's not it would be different if people didn't know who he was, but people clearly know who he is and what he's doing and have decided that for now, 6 weeks is an eternity. Who knows what's going to happen between now and the next 6 weeks? But right now it's a good place to be, and the numbers are strong.
Rodney, respect your opinion, my friend. Thank you for giving us some time this morning.
Thank you, sir.
Get more at 971talk.com.